Welcome to the BAPS Better Living Podcast.
My mom thinks I'm a bit of a nerd. I devour books. I also spend a copious amount of time watching YouTube videos on things like engineering principles, bridge construction, or woodworking. I lurk quite a bit on Reddit as well. Very recently on the platform, I came across this video demonstrating a phenomenon known as quantum locking or flux pinning. Now, stay with me here. It occurs when a superconductor becomes trapped within a magnetic field above or below a magnet under certain temperature conditions, giving the appearance of a floating object. It does this by expelling the magnetic field inside of it. When this happens, the superconductor locks in space and will not move unless acted on by an external force. It sounds pretty complicated, I know, but Google it and you'll be amazed. It's pretty cool stuff, I'd say. Having watched the video a few times over, it got me thinking about quantum lockings that exist in our own lives, the type that keep us in flux within a magnetic field no matter how life tilts and turns us, keeping us rooted to who we are and the person we are becoming. It's unique to each one of us. Everyone's pinning is different. The query for my own quantum locking took me numerous decades into my past, to one childhood memory. It was an early morning full of light, yet my 7-year-old eyes remained unwelcoming to the rising sun. When the car engine finally rested, I awakened with heavy eyes. "We're here," I heard my father say, watching him lean into the steering wheel and peer high to the top of the windshield at something outside. What was he looking at, I thought. As I stepped outside, I felt my mom tugging and straightening my attire. When I looked up from my now perfectly tucked, silvery, and colorful dupatta, I was amazed by what manifested before me. It was marvelous, and it was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. It was so white, like a big cloud in a deep blue sky. It was grand, wide in its stance and high in its stature. Its steps welcomed us, beckoning us to come inside. But before we could go in, we were ushered to a modest shoe stall. Removing our shoes, my mom explained, was a dual gesture. It not only helped maintain and respect the sanctity of the place, but also signified the shedding of the world behind, helping us to focus and take in what we were about to experience. The mandir, a Hindu place of worship, and the home of God. Atop the stairs before the entrances to the inner shrines, I discovered where the mesmerizing sounds I had heard since our arrival were coming from. It was a ghanti, the bell, which hung from atop the dome ceiling. My father picked me up and showed me how to ring it. I took the center clapper and struck it to the side of the bell, creating an auspicious sound, which, while being loud, ironically, also felt incredibly calming. He explained to me that in mandirs, the ghanti is rung to dispel our worldly thoughts, calling the mind to a cleansed slate. Only when you empty your cup, he said, can you fill it. And this critical step of disconnecting was foundational to building a pure and personal connection with God. It was also a way to announce to God our arrival at the mandir and expressing the desire to meet. As we walked towards the center shrine, I was taken in by the sense of the burning agarbattis, or incense sticks. It was a scent unlike anything I had taken in before. I inhaled and tried to capture it deep within. I asked my father why it smelled so nice. He explained to me that agarbattis are lit in many Hindu rituals. Dhoop is one of the 16 ways of offering devotion to God and burning fragrant substances such as the agarbatti, was one such method. Its burning purifies the air and induces positive vibrations in the brain. It helps us concentrate and easily meditate on the murtis, or images of God, we were about to witness. He also explained that just as the incense burns itself while offering its goodness to those in its presence, similarly, it exemplifies that we too should sacrifice, serve, and do good for others. We then walked into the inner shrine to behold the darshan of God. What does one do during such a divine meeting? I wasn't sure. Sensing my anxiousness, my mom showed me how to fold my hands. I watched my mom as she looked at the murtis of God intensely, closed her eyes, and bowed her head with humility. I followed suit. My mother told me that with faith, intense attachment, and zeal, I too could use this time to talk to God. What did I want God to know? What did I want to pray to God for? This was my time, our time together. After darshan and prostrations, we were given almonds, golden raisins, and sugar crystals from the sanctified offerings made to the murtis of God. I still remember picking out the raisins for myself, while my mother explained the significance of prasad to me. Meaning grace and joy, prasad was an extension of partaking in God's grace, a spiritual joy that was beyond the taste of the food itself. Smiling, I took a raisin, popped it into my mouth, and said, "I really enjoy getting full on spiritual joy." I still recall my mother's laughter, which was followed by encouragement to partake in more spiritual joy, handing me picked out raisins from her own prasad. We all encounter triggers that immediately bring us back to specific moments in our past, moments that hold incredible meaning and value, keep us in a type of magnetic flux, and shape the identities we hold today. Like perhaps the scent of a grandparent's sweater you recall as you slept in their arms, the aroma of a food dish prepared by a mother, the sound of a bicycle bell during a father-daughter riding lesson, or the sight of a full theater during a work achievement assembly, or a bright full moon on a summer night spent with a partner. This childhood memory, distilled in its distinctive sights, sounds, smells, and tastes, marked the moments of my first visit to the Swaminarayan Mandir. Full of innocence and discovery, it's a cherished memory of the time spent with my mom and dad. Sacred and pure, it is also a mark of my introduction and meeting with God. Since then, I've frequented the Mandir hundreds of times, now a daily Sunday ritual. And when I still reflect on the elements of the Mandir that drew me in as a child, my affinity to the place has only grown deeper and stronger. It's where I go to disengage from the busyness, troubles, and trifles of life. It's become a place of reset and recalibration. It's become a sanctum that helps expel my relentless fields of fears and doubts, and in turn, find serenity and strength. It's a place where I connect with the divine, and now too, I call home. When I think about all the experiences, people, and things in my life that have helped me to become who I am today, and the type of person I wish to still become, I find that the Mandir has played an immeasurable role. It has been, and continues to be, my quantum locking, my very own and personal flux pinning. What's yours?
We hope you enjoyed this Better Living episode and that it added value to your life. All the content on this channel, including this episode, is created and managed entirely by swamis and volunteers of BAPS from around the world. Our volunteers are continuously inspired by the sincere, transparent, and selfless lives of Pramukh Swami Maharaj, the late Guru of BAPS, and Mahan Swami Maharaj, the current guru of BAPS. Their character, their teachings, and their service to humanity have inspired millions of people of all backgrounds, faiths, and cultures throughout the world. They have encouraged all, regardless of one's beliefs, to live a mindful, balanced, and harmonious life. The episodes in this Better Living podcast are directly inspired by their teachings. If you enjoyed this episode and would like more content that inspires you to be better and to do better, follow us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for BAPS Better Living. Thanks again for choosing to spend your time with us today.